welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
There's a word from the Lord for us today. Meet me, please, in Psalm 139. Thank you, Jesus. Leave encouraged today. Hallelujah. Psalm 139. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you that you are the God who can tear walls down. Even those things, Lord God, we thought that would just be with us until we come to see you. No, we believe today that you can do it. Now, Lord God, by the power of your word, preach, Jesus. We need to hear from you. Move me so that these your people would hear only your voice and see only you. It's not about any of us here, Lord God. It's only about you. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll begin reading at verse 1. Psalm 139, verse 1. You have searched me, Lord. Some of your translations may say, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in, behind, and before, and you lay your hand upon me. And verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And our topic for today, our title for today's message is The God Who Knows. The God who knows. Lord, thank you for your word. Well, lately, I've been thinking a lot about superheroes and secretly sometimes wanting to be one myself. But I've been thinking about it. If I could have just one superpower, I don't think I want to leap tall buildings. I'm pretty sure I don't. I don't want to be like Aquaman, and I'm not all that fond of water myself. And I don't want to be invisible because I don't want to walk up on anything that I don't need to be in the midst of, but nobody knows I'm there. But church, if I could have just one superpower, sometimes, just sometimes, I think I'd like to be omniscient. Ooh. Judgment. Omniscient, you know that big fancy word for all knowing, Bible scholars. But I heard you judge me when I said that I'd like to sometimes know everything, but don't judge me. Just understand, just hear me out for just a moment. You see, there's sometimes when I stare into the faces of my beautiful beloved children. They're wonderful, and I'll ask a question like, what happened? And I look into their beautiful brown eyes, and they bat their lovely long lashes, and they flash their pearly whites. And I just can't tell if what has happened is what has happened. You know what I mean. And so in those moments, come on, y'all understand, I just kind of wish I knew everything. Just a little bit. Because in those times, I can't perceive their thoughts afar off, no matter how hard I try. I can't quite know everything. I wasn't there. I didn't see it myself. So in those moments, just in those moments maybe, and maybe a couple of other circumstances, I wish that I knew everything. But I think God knows that I couldn't handle knowing everything, and especially about my children. Lord knows, living in this world, I don't think I need to know everything, every experience that they're going to experience, every place where they're going to walk, everything that they're going to do. God knows that I couldn't handle it, that it would be unbearable for me as a human to be able to know everything about those that I love. But I'm glad God knows. And I'm not alone in this, because if we're honest today, we have a human fascination with knowing everything. We do. We do. It's not just me. Francis Bacon said, knowledge is power. We've heard that before in one way or another, or maybe even internalize it yourself. And Plato said, a good decision is based on knowledge and not numbers. A good decision is based on knowledge, what we know. And some of us have subscribed to this and even told our children that Santa, you remember Santa? That man, that strange man, that he knows all too. He's omniscient because he knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. A little scary. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good. And so if Santa's omniscient, then why can't I be? And I've been accused, I must confess, at least once, probably more than once, of being a know-it-all. Watch it. I know you can't possibly imagine that, but truth be told, deep down in the middle of my prideful heart, when I was accused of being a know-it-all, I really wasn't all that offended. And I wish I could just say that was before I was saved, but to my ears at that time, it kind of sounded like a compliment. I mean, really, let's think about it. And nobody has to raise their hands or anything. We're not going to write this down. But what does it do for you, Christian, when you solve the puzzle? When you fix the issue? When they come to you on the job or at home or in the church, and they come to you over and over again because you always seem to have an answer. May not be the right answer, but at least you got one, right? But how does it get our focus then off of God when we no longer seek God or pray before we respond because we've got all this knowledge that we've acquired over our lifetimes because we know? We've read, we've studied, we're scholars, we've all been to formal training up here, and so we've been taught by our parents and by those who loved us, by teachers. We've been taught by leaders in the church just what to do and how to move and what we need to know. But how many times, church, have we forsaken the move of the Holy Spirit who wanted to do a new thing because we already know? No, thank you. Spirit, don't come down, because we already know. Knowing, this omniscience, this all-knowing quality, this is what we would call one of the attributes of God, right? One of the characters, if we could say, of God, of who God is. So like, God is joy, God is peace, God is love, right? God embodies all those things. And God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. God is all-knowing. God is the God who knows. And Scripture confirms this. From Genesis to Revelation, we see passages that talk about what God knows and what God allows us to know. But we must know that knowledge is not the opposite of God. God is not opposed to knowledge. I don't want you to think that that's what I'm saying. But I want you to understand that knowledge, true knowledge, comes from God, because God is omniscient. God is the all-knowing one. So if there's anything for you to get or to know, then it ought to come from God. In this particular passage of scripture in Psalms that we read today, Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6, the author, the writer who has been attributed to David as psalmist uses the word know, and that's the Greek yada, yada, and it's a particular way of talking about know, to know, yada, and it's used more than any in scripture to talk about knowledge. Yada. It's the same kind of know that we read in Genesis chapter 3, back in the garden, in verse 7, and it says, and the eyes of them, talking about Adam and Eve, both were opened, and they knew they were naked, right? That's the same, yada, to know. And it's the same kind of know that we see in Jeremiah 1 and 5, where God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations, God says. That's yada. That's the knowing that we're talking about. And it speaks not just of head knowledge, but of our awareness that all knowing comes through God. And if it comes through God, then that means unless God reveals it to us, then we can't know it. We can't go get it. We can't make it up. Unless God reveals his knowledge to us by the power of his Holy Spirit, that's why you need the Spirit to fall down. So that what you need to know by God, he can reveal to you. Through revelation, we get yada, we know. And through relationship with the Lord, we know. Through revelation and through relationship. God is the source of knowledge, and we can't just accumulate it, but we have to access it through the Holy Spirit, because God knows all. It's through God's revelation that he can help us to know good from evil. We can't know that of ourselves. No, you can't. God reveals the difference. God helps us to know how to perceive and see like God does through the eyes of the Spirit. God has to reveal that to you. You can't get that by yourself. God has to teach you how to discern and how to separate and distinguish between what is of God and what is of us. God is the one who knows all. God's knowledge helps us to recognize and to be able to even confess our sins. We wouldn't know our sinfulness unless God revealed it to us. I'm just talking about that God is the one who knows all. It's a simple message, but it's an important one for help, to help us with our perspective. So now thank God, those of us who are saved and we're in relationship with God and growing in his Spirit, we know that God reveals his truth to us. Amen. And God has entrusted us and entrusted leaders in his church with some really good information and some knowledge and some awareness of his world and his people. Yes, he has. And we thank God that by his grace, he teaches us all things. But lest we think that our access, our connection with God, to the all-knowing God, so that we don't think that we are equal with God, because we don't want to think that, right? Just because we have access to the all-knowing God, that doesn't make us the all-knowing God. Before we think that the Spirit-revealed knowledge of God sets us up as demigods or junior gods or baby gods, this psalm helps us to reorient our thinking, to snap us back into reality and say, wait a minute, no, God is the all-knowing one. And we cannot approach his knowing. It snaps us back into reality. You know, in the movie Moonstruck, when Nick Cage is on this rant about himself and then Cher, okay, maybe it was too far back, this reference. There was a movie way back in the day called Moonstruck, which may or may not be on Netflix. Hey, mommy, what's that? But in any case, they're in this conversation, and then you remember Cher says, snap out of it. Sometimes we begin to think that as God reveals his knowledge to us and through us, that we are somehow as God. And in the knowing that God deposits in us, we think that it belongs to us. So this psalm snaps us out of it. This psalm, this what we read is the first of four stanzas, or the first of four parts of this poem, this song that the author wrote to God. It's a love story. It's a poem written to God, a reflection on God's amazing power in his life. And we read the first six verses, which is just one fourth of it. So I encourage you to go back and to read more. But the first part of it that we read today, the first six verses, it makes just one clear and profound statement. God knows everything. It's as simple as that. God knows. The God that we serve, David said, knows. Just sit with that for a minute, church. Allow that revelation to sink deep into your spirit. God knows. No, I mean, really, think about that thing. Think about all the stuff that you walked in here with today. About everything you had to lay down in order to come into the presence of the Most High God. Think about everything you got to return back to when you leave this place. Guess what? God knows. Think about all that stuff that none of us know about because it happened so long ago. God knows. Think about all the things that are to come that you have in the desire of your heart. God knows. And so the psalmist writes down to reflect on how the God who knows everything has been a part of his life. And we see it here in verse 1. He tells us that you have been searched by God. Searched by God. The God who knows everything has searched us. And commentaries use words like penetrating, or that God has looked deep into every part of you, every finger on my hand, every vein in my body, every hidden place. God has searched every recess of my heart from time past, every place that I thought was no longer there. God has searched every corner of my mind. The God who knows all has searched. According to TSA.gov, in September, following September 2011, the attacks on America, the TSA was formed, Transportation Security Administration. And those of you who travel a lot probably have a love-hate relationship with TSA. But you know, it's this agency that was set up, and they're often at, particularly at airports, but they have responsibility for travel places, trains and buses, for security of those places, TSA. And so TSA agents are trained to look for things that might be harmful as we travel together, as we fly together, as we ride the rails together. They are tasked with looking for things that might be harmful to yourself or to others who are traveling with you. And so they have things like first just the metal detectors, you know, you walk through and they look for things that might be on your person that might be harmful. They're searching you, right? They're looking for things that you might be trying to bring on board to harm someone else in the process, harm yourself. And now they have body scans, you know, that they go like this, and they see more than any person not married to me should see. And so they're doing this imaging because they're looking for substances and toxic things and weapons and all those. They're searching you from head to toe, right? Because they know that you could be doing something that would bring harm to someone else in the process, harming God's people. And so what verse 1 lets us know is God has searched us, and more than TSA, the God of the universe, you know, the one who set the stars and the sun in the sky, he has done an amazingly, exceeding abundantly job of searching you from head to toe. But he can do more than TSA. You know, the God who has searched you, he's seen more than just the bones in your body and the things through the scanner. But the God who searched you has looked into your past, and he's searched you and seen your future, and he's searched and seen everything that makes you up. This God, the God who knows everything, is scanning you because he doesn't want you to hurt yourself, and he doesn't want you to carry something around that may harm somebody else. And so thank God, even when I don't want to be searched, even when I don't want to admit that God knows all about it, you may not know all about it, but the all-knowing God has searched me, church, and I'm And I'm grateful today because some stuff he's sought out and searched and revealed would have been harmful to you. Hallelujah. But by his loving spirit, he searched it out and pulled it out and worked it out. He's searching you. He's searching out that anger. He's searching out that malice and that lust. He's searching out that pride. Spirit, come down. God knows. God knows. God knows, verse 2, when I sit down and when I rise up. He knows my frantic movements, when I can't be still, when I'm anxious. God knows that I went there, even though you don't know I went there. God knows, because he was there when I got there and he got me back here. And God knows when I sit down where I'm not supposed to sit, because that's where he found me, and he came and got me and brought me and set me down where I was supposed to be. And God knows when I rise up, when I stand up and I try to make a difference. God knows everywhere that I go. He knows every movement, because he's the all-knowing, omniscient God, not me, but God knows. And so I'm thankful that he knows when my children sit down and when they rise up, because now I don't have to be a superhero, because the all-knowing God is always knowing where they are. Hallelujah. You can rest on that, mother. You can go to sleep at night, mother, because the all-knowing God knows where they are. Hallelujah. And so he searches me, and he knows every single movement that I make, where I go, where I come. And not only that, but he can discern my thoughts from afar off, from afar off. Now we know that God rests in heaven, but we know that his spirit is here, because we talked about the space between heaven and earth just being a thin veil. But that doesn't mean that God is so far away that he can see my thoughts. That means down through the corridor of time, God knows what I'm thinking before I thought the thought that I wanted to think. God knows. He can discern my thoughts before. And I know I'm not by myself, but that saved my life on more than one occasion. Because there's some of us in here who have thought some thoughts that was going to harm ourselves or others. And God knew that thought was coming before I even had the thought that I was thinking. That's real talk. And God intervened on my behalf, because he knew. That's all right. You don't have to confess it in front of people. That's all right. But if you want to be free today and you want to help somebody else to be free, then you'll admit that there were some thoughts that you were thinking that were not righteous thoughts. Hallelujah. And God already knew that. The God who knows everything knew that before you even were able to comprehend that thing. And he loves you all the same anyway. He searched me. He knows all about me. He knows when I sit down. He knows when I get up. He knows my thoughts even before I'm thinking of what I wanted to do, what I planned to do, even before I know. God knows. God knows my motivations. Yes, he does. No matter what I tell you, God knows why I did what I did and why I thought what I thought. God knows my schemes. God knows my understandings and my misunderstandings. God knows. God knows my path, how I get from here to there, how I went from sin to saved, how I go from bound up to free, and how I go from carnal to holy, and sometimes try to go back from holy to carnal. God knows all my movements. He knows all my thoughts. He knows all my thinkings. Whichever way I go, whichever way you go, God knows. God knows. Take comfort in that. God knows. And God is acquainted with all my ways. How many of my ways? All my ways, church. How many of my ways? God is acquainted with all your ways, church. All your ways. My divided tongue, God knows all my ways. My shaky faith, God knows all my ways. My disrespectful mouth, God knows all my ways. I might as well just confess it. God knows about the broken heart, church. Yes, he does. God knows all your ways. He knows about your desire to live right. God knows all your ways. God knows about how you want to learn how to love right. God knows all your ways. God knows all your ways. He knows what makes you trip up and fall down. God knows all your ways. And God knows how you fight hell and high water to try to get back up. God knows all your ways. And because God is the all-knowing, omniscient God, and he knows all your ways. All your ways, not just your Sunday ways, church. God knows all your ways. God knows my tongue. Ruh-roh. before the words are even audible. Whether the words are ever spoken or not, God already knows the speech, the words that were being formed, because he knew my thoughts from afar off. So he knew that which was prepared to come out. And sometimes, praise God, he intercepted that thing before you heard it. But Lord, you know, and this is not to frighten us to remain mute, to walk around not speaking. That's not the point. God knows even the words that we don't articulate. But the good thing is that because God knows the words even before they come out, even when they come out jumbled up, whether they're clear or confused, God, the Holy Spirit, the scripture says, can take every moan and every groan and translate it and get that desire, that cry out to the Father. So sometimes you don't even have the words clearly all mapped out or all laid out, but you need to say something, and the Lord will help you by his Spirit. He'll give you a language. He'll give you speech, whether you're strong or weak, whether it's a word of praise or of despair. God knows every word as it approaches your tongue, as it rolls off, before it gets there. Lord, you know. And this shepherd David, who has been through a lot of things in his life, he sat down to write these verses. And I can imagine that he thought back to those times when he was out in the field. You know, David wasn't always a king. And he's thinking about maybe that flock of sheep that he was responsible for. He is being out there with them day and night. And at all times, his responsibility as a shepherd was to know where each sheep was day and night. He slept with the sheep. Yes, he did, because he had to keep watch over them, wielding his staff, his rod, you know, Psalm 23, watching for the threat of wolves and bears and other predators who were trying to come into the camp. It was his responsibility. And that's why he can reflect and say in verse 5 that in the same way that he was responsible for keeping those sheep corralled, that the Lord, our God, the all-knowing, omniscient one, he keeps us hemmed in. Anybody need to be hemmed in? Anybody glad that the Lord has been hemming you in? Even when you've been trying to go astray and to leave the herd because you thought you could do it by yourself, you didn't need the watch of a shepherd. You didn't need anyone to keep you corralled in. But the word said that he hems me in before and behind. God has been hemming you in your whole life, even when you didn't know anything about him, believe it or not. The all-knowing God, because he knows you. He's been keeping his watch around you. He's been surrounding you with his love. He's surrounding you with his grace. He's surrounding you with his presence. He's hemming you in, church. He's hemming you in, Redeemer. Hallelujah. And it's the same way when we see a young child who's learning how to walk and they're toddling down the sidewalk. And they may not know it. They think they're just doing it all by themselves. Look at me, I'm doing it. I walk by myself. But the reality is that there are loved ones who are around them, just watching, making sure that they stay standing up, making sure that they don't fall or hurt themselves, making sure that they don't run out into the street. That's the God, that's the love that hems us in. And he says, You know what? God searches me. He knows my thoughts before I even think the thoughts. He sees me when I get up and when I sit down, everywhere I go. God knows all about me, my tongue, the words before they come. David says, I cannot understand it. It confounds my mind. Sometimes you just ought to admit that you can't understand God's ways. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Just sometimes we just ought to sit in the admission of that, because that humility will allow God to show us, reveal new things. It's above our human understanding, David said. We can't measure our knowledge, church, up against God. There's no comparison. And the psalmist reflects on the ways that we are unable to measure, to compare, to comprehend, because his ways and his thoughts are far from ours. And David says that this awareness of God being all-knowing is too wonderful for him. Too wonderful. And it didn't simply mean that it was so much to celebrate, but it meant that he was overwhelmed by how inconceivable it is for this God to know everything about him, everything about you. But in some ways, if we just try to figure out, it kind of makes sense. God is the creator and we are his creation. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. And so God has created us with a desire to know him. We were formed by the Lord, and we're in relationship with him. So it makes sense that this all-knowing God, the God of the earth and the skies, the seasons and the crawling creatures, would know all about us. Why wouldn't he know all about us? He knows all about me. He knows every hair on your head. But why would this God, who knows all about me, desire to hem me in? Why would this God, this all-knowing, omniscient creator God, who knows all about me, why would he touch me? Why would he lay his hands on me, as David says? Why would this God, if we're honest, this God, our God, the almighty, all-knowing, ever-present God, who knows all about me, from Alpha to Omega, from the beginning to the end, and every hidden thing in between? Why would this God, who knows all about me, desire to lay hands and touch me? Because he knows everything. Because he knows everything. Because I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and future. Why would this God, who knows me, lay his hands on me? Because he knows the destiny that he has prepared for you before the beginning of the world, the table that has been set for you in the presence of your enemies. He knows that he is anointing your head, your filthy, confused, disobedient, my filthy, confused, disobedient, wayward head with oil until our cups run over. Why, God, who knows all about me, why would you care, Lord? And we may never fully understand, we will never understand the fullness of God's love for us, the sacrificial love that caused him, the God who knows you, the God who knows me, to die for a wretched I. But we need that kind of God, church. We need a God who's not like us. We would not sacrifice for one another in such a way. We would not sacrifice for one another if we knew our whole story. If you knew everywhere I've been, if you knew everything about me, this vote would be returned before service is over. But the omniscient one who created and formed me says, Deandra, I know all about you. And yes, I have called you. And yes, I'm preparing you. And yes, I have a way for you. Lord, you know. Lord, you see. Lord, you're there. Lord, you care. Lord, you know. Lord, you see. Lord, you're there. And Lord, you care. Our God, we thank our God, is the one who knows. To God be the glory.